Thanks for continuing on with us on Niaga Wani. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taking over from my colleagues, Nabila Khalida, Harith Ashraf Aznan, as well as Nina Rosman. We now talk about the issue of cyber security and, of course, following a few Telegram hacks as well as Signal account hacks and following IPA 88's announcement of a cyber security incident that took place in May this year. Bank Negara Malaysia has instructed banks to immediately notify cardholders of additional protective measures that will be taken to further protect them against risks of fraud and unauthorized transactions. It added that it takes a serious view of any incidents that could affect confidence in the payment systems, as well as will not hesitate to take necessary supervisory or enforcement action to ensure strong security controls are in place by the FIs and to ensure that customers are treated fairly. Here to unpack all of this, joining me live via video call is Mariani Man, the founder and managing director of tech company ViSurf. She has a total of 19 years experience in IT industry and over 17 years in network and information security. Mariani, let's talk a little bit more about some of the developments that is currently happening in the country. Could you update us a bit on the cyber threat situation in Malaysia and which sectors do you think could be more prone to cyber attacks?
Morning, everyone. Okay, basically, you can see on the news almost every day, the reported one and definitely the unreported one. Basically, reported by Forbes, about 90% most of the businesses being targeted by cyber crimes. So, even in Malaysia, we heard a lot of news, and those basically we always heard about financial, public sector, but surprisingly, based on the Cisco report, the sectors of manufacturing, business services, retail, constructions, and even energy and utilities is the most prone to cyber attack. And mostly on is either ransomware or actually a DDoS attack.
The internet usage, of course, is increasing, and of course, more and more devices are connected. I want to ask you a little bit more about how ready Malaysia is in facing these incoming threats. Do you think that Malaysia has enough funds and, of course, expertise to handle such threats?
Surprisingly, Malaysia score high on digital preparedness. So basically, everybody is moving towards the digital transformations. But in terms of cybersecurity, I think the adoption is still low because we still, first, because the talent shortage of cybersecurity itself. Second, most people go online without a proper cybersecurity measure. So because cybersecurity is, again, all about people, technology and process. So we have to look into it holistically. So if you ask me about in general, I would say the readiness is there, but not fully there. Because even some cases, some businesses are not even aware that they're being attacked.
How do you think that businesses can equip themselves even further, considering that there would be the concept of no more ransomware initiatives and businesses might not necessarily be spending enough resources and money into improving their cybersecurity threats?
I would say the mitigation strategy must be clear in terms of people, process and, again, technology to reduce likelihood of being attacked, to reduce the severity and, of course, to increase the resilience. So basically, the businesses have to start building the resilience into organizations' workflow and process.
Mariani, we need to talk about some interesting cyber incidents that is happening recently. You mentioned some mitigation elements of it, but how do you think we can prevent these from recurring again?
Again, we cannot 100% assure that everything is well protected, but again, it reflects the people, technology and process. So basically, if everything is in place, it can be enforced according to regulatory standard, like we mentioned earlier, even the Bank Negara come out with RMIT. That's actually a good guidelines for the businesses to follow. And every industry have their own standards to follow.
So what would be some of the ideas in terms of moving away from the businesses? We think about the consumers. What would be some of the precautions that you think consumers can think about in order to protect ourselves against cybersecurity threats?
Again, is about awareness. This is a continuous thing. We have to always be aware and alert, even to the extent when we receive an email, even it looks similar, but you have to be really look at the name of the senders, because in the business, if you in the corporate world, they were sent to using the corporate email, not just a random email. So because even now, for consumer, the targeted is actually phishing email. That's a high cases now in Malaysia even.
All right, thank you very much. That was Mariana Iman, the founder and managing director of ViaServe Nambahat, joining us to talk a little bit more about the issue of cybersecurity and the cyber threats that is currently plaguing the country. We'll be taking one or two more looks in terms of the cybersecurity threats in the country this week, considering that plenty of items regarding this matter is going to be afflicting us. So do stay on point, and we'll be bringing you some of the more recent conversations on that moving forward. We now move on to some market updates. It's as at 9:51 a.m. on a beautiful Monday morning, 15th of August. We're looking at the KLCI trending downwards at 1,505 points, down 0.31 points, or about 0.02% from trading off last week. We're looking at very slow day trading here. About 50 minutes after the markets have opened, 500 million shares have been traded with 320 million shares done. Losers outgain gainers with 281 counters in the red, with 208 counters in the green. Some key movers include DKSH. They are up 23 cent to 4.39 ringgit. We're looking at PATDAG up 14 cent to 22.18 ringgit. And one company that is also quite interesting to look at is, of course, MISC, also in the oil and gas sector, up 11 cent to 7.31 ringgit. One key item that we need to look at would be some of the key companies that we have our eyes on. Pentamaster, for instance, they are optimistic of another record year. First half 22 core net profit in line with 54% to 56% of CGS-CIMB's consensus for a financial year 2022 forecast. In spite of its healthy order book visibility, CGS-CIMB does see earnings risks beyond second half of this year forecasted from a slowdown in the global economy and other inflationary cost pressures. The downgrade from an add to hold CGS with a slightly higher target price of 4.15 ringgit in view of its recent share market outperformance of up 48% from year-to-date down low. Also, another company that we need to look at would be some of the developments in the travel industry and in the airport industry. The legal dispute between MAHB as well as Capital A has ended. So the next focus for the Malaysia Airport Holdings Berhad and as well as MAVCOM have floated a proposal that may force MAHB to give up 90% of its profits in the 23 to 25 forecasted year via the lowering of aero tariffs for the next 10 years. The next 10 years aero tariffs will be from 2026 to 2035 forecasted. CGS-CIMB hopes that a more robust exchange of views between MAVCOM, the airport and investors may push MAVCOM to come up with alternative ideas. CGS reiterates a hold call on this counter with an unchanged SOP-based target price of 6.67 ringgit. Another element that we need to look at is, of course, the retail sector. Malaysia's second quarter 2022 GDP grew at 8.9% year-on-year and 3.5% quarter-on-quarter, beating CGS and markets expectations amid base effects and reopening drive. They do believe that the strength in the second quarter 2022 year-on-year growth to persist throughout the third quarter of this year's GDP measurement. However, pent-up demand looks to dissipate and CGS raises their 2022 forecast GDP growth to 7.3% year on year, accounting for the strong second quarter GDP growth that was recorded very recently, the low base effect, as well as the current economic trajectory. Companies that are going to be buoyed by this would include companies like retail companies like Mr. DIY, which very recently I was shopping at Mr. DIY, and there were a whole host of people there. DIY is unchanged this morning at RM2.11. Worth noting that Mr. DIY's market capitalization is about 19 billion ringgit thus far. Another item that we need to look at is, of course, the political risk situation in the country, and some potential GE15 dates do include some prognostications by the co-founder and director of programs for Merdeka Center and Opinion Research, Ibrahim Sufian. Ben Sufian revealed that should UMNO party's election takes place after GE15, then the first window to potentially hold the general election would be between November 22 and December 22, so still this year. And the second window would be from end of February next year up until Ramadan next year, which starts on the 22nd of April 2023. Now, while the third window could be between June and July next year, on election outcome, his first and foremost likely scenario is that the status quo would be maintained and that the three coalition parties and other independents, namely BN or Barisan Nasional, PH, Pakatan Harapan and Perikatan Nasional, PN, will contest against each other in the 15th general election. Under this scenario, he expects BN to gain majority seats in West Malaysia and potentially from the government with Sarawak Parties Alliance or GPS, Gabungan Parti Sarawak, to dominate that state. Now, we're looking at some of the items when it comes to the election items of the political risk. So oil and gas sector is going to be impacted. We're looking at the energy sector, of course, and most importantly, the plantation sector. So these are the areas that we need to look at when it comes to a rising political risk. However, because of some of the developments pertaining to, say, for instance, Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak's court case that is happening this week, there's a lot more that needs to be unpacked when it comes to the political risk measurement, when it comes to the market. Those are some of the ideas that we can bring to you from the markets for today. We move on to the next news. Right now, the transition to clean energy is inevitable as the world moves towards reversing the impact of climate change while simultaneously strengthening energy security to hedge against external uncertainties, such as the Russia-Ukraine conflict's impact on the energy sector. And TNB Generation Sendirian Berhad COO, or Chief Operating Officer, Datuk Roslan Abdul Rahman said that the TNB plans to reduce its dependency on coal by 50% when it comes to 2035 and is seriously looking into renewable energy sources such as hydrogen and ammonia. Roslan said that hydropower dams are an important source of renewable energy, noting that hydroelectricity currently powers about 10% of the national grid currently. Nonetheless, he acknowledged that it would take a while for the transition from coal to clean energy to take place. He also noted that Malaysia will still need to collaborate with foreign companies that have the right expertise, adding that TNB Genco is currently talking to major firms such as General Electric or GE and Siemens to find out the most suitable technology to develop its own renewable technology. Meanwhile, initial jobless claims in the US last week rose to 262,000, hitting a new high since November last year and indicating that the labour market might be cooling. The Labour US Department reported on Thursday that in the week ending August 6, the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits increased by 14,000 from the previous week's downwardly revised level of 248,000, according to a report released by the Department's Bureau of Labour Statistics, or BLS. In recent months, the figures have been trending up amid surging inflation and rising interest rates. The Labour Department reported that the US employers added 528,000 jobs in July, despite recession fears and rising inflationary costs, with the unemployment rate edging downwards to the pre-pandemic level of 3.5%, signalling a still robust labour market. But as the Federal Reserve ramps up its fight against surging inflation, a strong job market may be about to take a turn for the worst. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that recently the process to bring down inflation would likely involve a period of below-trend economic growth and some softening in the labour market conditions. Argentina reported a monthly inflation rate of 7.4% in July, the highest number of two decades for a country where citizens are used to increasing prices. Over the past year, Argentina's consumer prices have soared a whopping 71%, the index National Statistics Agency said on Thursday. At a time when many people around the world are trying to deal with rapidly rising prices, this latest number cemented Argentina's position among countries with the highest inflation rates in the world. The soaring inflation rate triggered hundreds of thousands of people to protest in front of the presidential palace in Buenos Aires this week. After camping overnight in a demonstration for higher wages, the protesters ended their two-day protests on Thursday. The price increases have hit food products particularly hard, worsening the poverty rate that already affects around 40% of the population of around 47 million people. The acceleration of the country's already high inflation rate comes shortly after the government had three economic ministers within 1 month amid uncertainty that led to the local currency depreciation sharply in the financial market. So there are a lot of developments that are currently happening this week. Do stay with us on Astro Awani. Do check out some of our recordings and tapings and other interviews that can be found on my show Notepad with Ibrahim Sani as well as on Niaga Awani. In the meantime, enjoy the week. Have a very good week ahead. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.